Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Power Half Hour. In a few seconds' time, we'll be joined by Ronald Evergy for the verbal fitness sessions, where we take you through a workout. Thereafter, we'll have a discussion regards to fluids, water, and others in terms of your daily intake, inshallah. So get those questions through if you want any questions, rather, for Ronald to answer. Thereafter, we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvadia, and today we're discussing the inner critic, that inner voice that talks to you. You know, what is your relationship with your inner voice? Do you listen to this voice? Let us know what your voice is telling you and how you deal with this by SMSing 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. It's time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Ijaz, are you healthy and fit today?
Alhamdulillah, yes I am, and I'm pretty sure you are the very same, am I right?
Well, we try to be, you know. You can never be too fit or too strong or too healthy, so you keep on trying consistently, and that is the secret to success of weight loss and health.
100%. And yep, you can feel the nip in the air, Ronald. And this is usually when laziness takes over, because you know the cold and the wonderful blankets keep you, lazier. No?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And with that in mind, you also have to say to yourself, you know, how many more excuses can we come up? You know winter's coming up every year. We know it's going to get cold. Then we need to prepare ourselves emotionally for that. And when you've done that, you accept the fact that you can still exercise and be active and reap the benefits thereof.
Indeed. Speaking about working out, it's time for the workout. And what do you have in store for us today?
You know, today's workout, I took to heart what you said yesterday about you playing a full 90 minutes of football, and, you know, you were a bit stiff and you struggled a little bit yesterday.
Yes.
So I thought to myself, let us help empower you with a stretching mobility workout to help loosen you up, but still keep the body active.
Okay.
This is what people don't realize, that if you do flexibility in the correct way, you're going to get body benefits, which will enhance your football game or your functionality overall. And that is what we're going to do today.
Wonderful stuff. I'm all set and ready. I'm sure the listeners are as well.
All right, wonderful. Now we're going to start off, and we need to warm the body up. Remember, before you do any stretching exercise, you need to really get the body warm. And today's warm-up is going to incorporate upper body and lower body. And it's a traditional star jump that we love so much, because it increases the range of motion of the hips as well and the shoulders, as well as mobilizing and engaging your upper and lower body. So we all know the star jump. You open your feet up, and first you stand up, feet together. And as you open your feet up, your hands clap above your head. And that is how simple the movement is. And that you do consistently for the next 30 seconds. Are you ready, Brother Jazz?
Let's go for it.
Star jump. 1, 2, 3. Good. We've got to hear those claps on. Now, you go at a pace that is comfortable for you. If you do it too fast or too quick, then you might really fatigue yourself out, but go at a pace that is comfortable and get that rhythm that you so need to ensure that you fulfill a high-intensity 30 seconds of this workout. Great. Keep it going. Great. Good. Relax it down. Now, let's go on into our stretches. The first stretch, and we're going to stretch and mobilize the body from the ankles right on up. So we're starting from the bottom of the body.
Okay.
So I want you, wherever you're standing, is I want you then to place your right foot forward, bend your left knee, and place your right heel on the floor and straighten that right knee. So your right foot is forward, heel on the floor, toes pointing up. And all that I want you to do is lean forward so that your chest is parallel to the ground, shoulders are parallel, and lean forward towards that right knee. And you should feel a stretch in the back of the calf and the back of the knee, and a little bit into the hamstring as well. Do you feel that stretch?
Yes, I do.
Now you hold that stretch for at least 20 seconds, and then you change your legs around. All right? Now you're also stretching the bottom of the calf area, and that's called, remember that the difference between the calf muscles is that the meaty part, or for some people it's just a tube, but the upper part towards the knee is called the gastrocnemius, and the lower part is called the soleus. And you also want to, you know, stretch out the tendons and, you know, really activate them as well, especially the Achilles tendon, because many people injure that by not doing consistent exercise. So you've done the other leg, you hold it for 20 seconds, and then you relax it up. The next one we're going to be doing is, of course, for the quadricep. Now, Brother Jazz, I'm sure you do this stretch when you guys are playing ball. You know, this stretch is very simple. You're standing upright, holding onto something for balance.
Okay.
You're basically going to pull your heel to your buttocks.
Yes, we do this.
And you're stretching the quadricep, not the front of the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
You know the stretch?
Yes, we do. We do it in the
Now,
game.
The difference I want you to bring now is hold that position. Mm-hmm. And while you're holding that foot there, I want you to push that hip forward. So you imagine yourself like a bow and arrow, the bow that's bent and curved. I want you to push that hip forward consciously and pull that knee further back. And you'll feel a pull more so on the quadricep, on the entire length of the quadricep muscle.
Yep, feeling the
bow. You hold that for another 20 seconds. Then release it slowly and then change legs onto the other leg.
Okay.
And you hold that position. By pushing the hips forward, you begin to engage the hip flexors or the front of the upper hip. And that really helps stretch that area out, loosens up on the hip area. Because if you're seated for most of the day or running a lot, you're not stretching, that hip flexor becomes very, very tight and could risk injury and misaligning your hips.
Mm.
And you could pull a muscle or strain a muscle. Great.
Nice.
Now, once you've done that one, we're going on into the next one. I want you to keep your feet wider than shoulder width apart.
Okay?
And we're going to stretch the inside thigh. And all I want you to do is bend the right knee, put both hands on that knee, and keep the left knee straight. You know the straight, the side stretch,
right?
Yeah,
we do it as well, yeah.
Now, here's a tweak you're going to add to it. Because I love what you're saying. That, yeah, Ron, we know the stretch. But this is how we can help enhance the stretch for you.
Okay.
While you're bending the right knee and all your weight is on that right side,
mm-hmm.
your left leg is straight. I want you to take that left hip and push it further back. So you push that hip further back.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
yeah.
How does that stretch feel?
Yes, now. Feeling
you
the
see that deeper stretch in to that inside thigh area.
Yeah, nice one.
Hold it for 20 seconds, and then you change legs again.
Okay.
And then you hold that stretch for 20 seconds, and you keep on alternating until you feel nice and loose on that inside thigh. So now we've stretched the back of the leg, we've stretched the inside thigh, we've stretched the front of the thigh. It's time to loosen up on something known as the iliotibial band. Now, if you feel on the outside of your leg, your thigh, from your knee right up to your hip bone, that entire band is called the ITB, or iliotibial band. And with running and with short sprints like in football, the band takes a lot of stress and pressure. So you need to stretch that out along with stretching out the glutes. So all you're going to do is that if you can, you lay on the floor. If you can't, you have a seat on a chair.
Okay?
I want you to cross your right leg, your right ankle over your left knee. And I want you then, if you're sitting down, just to lean forward with your shoulders parallel to the ground, with your chest trying to touch the inside of the knee.
Yeah.
And if you're not, if you're laying on the floor, you cross the right foot over the left knee, you lift the left knee up, and then you pull that right knee towards your chest. Now this stretches the entire area of the glutes, of the iliotibial band, and you'll find that once you've done the stretch, this stretch I want everyone to hold for at least 30 seconds. It's longer because this is an area we don't often stretch, but an area of our body that takes a lot of stress and pressure. You do it on each side, and you will feel lighter, looser, and Brother Jazz, when you kick that ball and run on the football field, you'll do it a lot better.
Nice one. This is a different take on the one that we do. Usually, our legs will be our elbows on the ground, and then we take our leg across. You know, from the back like that.
Yeah, slide through and across.
Yeah.
This brings in variation because it allows you to control that motion a lot more. So if you want to push or pull or have more pressure on it, you can actually control that and engage the functionality of the hips more. So there's different ways to do different exercises. But as you and I are here to help our listeners, let's show you how to tweak exercises to achieve a better benefit if you know them.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair for that, Ronald. I'm feeling a lot more fluid, and that is indeed our discussion that we're having for now, isn't it? How important is fluid intake to healthy living?
You know, hydration, let me put it from that perspective. You know, fluid equals hydration for the body, and hydration is critical for the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always tell children, you know, don't play out too long and don't have something to drink, have some water. We're constantly pushing that because hydration is water, is something in our body that involves the majority of our bodily functions, from our excrement right into our intake, right into our lungs, into our blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's fluid and water. We are 70% made up to 80% of fluid and water.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, it assists in the metabolic processes of the body. It assists in our creation of energy, you know, setting the fluidity of our blood, you know, and all those things. So hydration plays one of the most important roles when it comes to maximizing one's health and bodily functions to achieve optimal performance for what we have in our body, because our bodies are technically machined. And the lubrication thereof comes from our fluid intake. And what we put in from a fluid perspective impacts our bodies, because there's different types of fluids out there.
Right. Oh, what's the number again? SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548, or Twitter as well is another option. If you want to get a question through to Ronald, he's on for another 3 minutes. Ronald, the next one here, can one drink too much water or fluids?
Yes, you can. You know, I mean, that's why we always say that you have to find a balance. So an average of, say, drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. You know, we know that an average male is approximately 80 kilograms, should shift more towards 10 glasses of water. And the particular calculation that we have that can help you figure that out, not difficult ones to do, and we can post them on our social media. But can you drink too much water? Yes, you can. What you then do is you'll find that your urine will go a lot lighter and clearer in color, instead of the medium yellowy type of a color. And that shows that you have a lot of water in your system. However, if you consistently have too much water, and I'm saying over-consuming thereof without having enough food in your body and allowing your body to really get rid of the water through evaporation and sweating, etc., you could actually drown yourself from the inside. And there was a craze years ago where people were following the water diet, where they only had water, you know, and a small meal a day, and water was for the rest of the day, and they did it for a month. And some of them literally put the organs under so much pressure that there was organ failure, because the organs literally couldn't function in too much water. So you need to find a balance and not have too much water. And 8 to 10 glasses is the average that we look at.
Okay. And finally, Ronald, it says, besides water, what else are good drinks to add to our daily routines?
You know, besides our daily routine, you know, you look at simple things like, you know, positive thoughts and positive thinking, you know, meditation and dhikr and so forth, silencing of the mind, you know, good hours of sleep, and not just a lot of hours of sleep, but good quality of sleep, you know, those kinds of things. But if we look at it more from the hydration perspective, many people say, why must I have water? I'm having tea. Tea is majority water. Or I'm having coffee, you know, or soups in winter, you know, the halim that come out. And yes, that is fluid, but it's not healthy fluid, because those, like coffees and the teas, have diuretic properties, which means it holds onto water molecules. So you'll find that if you have a lot of tea, or, you know, you'll tend to go to the toilet to go urinate a lot more. So you're losing a lot more fluid, and that's what tea does. It's got diuretic properties, so always have water with it. And other things is, some people will say, but what about water and lemon? That's a good thing. Yes, it is. You know, hot water and lemon, you know what? It's great to assist the peristaltic motion of the stomach. Does it assist in digestion? It just assists in creating that motion of the stomach to begin to physically begin to digest food. So it's, everything's got its properties, its principles, and its means. And at the end of the day is, you need to make those healthier choices for you. And when you've made them, stick to them.
Wonderful stuff. Jazakallah khair, Ronald, for the advices today and for the workout. Seriously, I'm feeling like a lot more energetic, or some energy that has been released. So thanks for that. And inshallah, we'll pick it up tomorrow, same time. You have yourself a wonderful day, brother.
Jazakallah, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there with the verbal fitness sessions on the Power Half Hour. Coming up in a few seconds' time, we're joined by life coach Sumaya Kavadia. We're talking about, the topic is, the inner critic and making peace with that voice. Do you have such an internal voice? And what is your relationship with it or them? Yeah, you can let us know, inshallah, all the mediums that was mentioned. Coming up, life coach Sumaya Kavadia.
When life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path.
Yes, indeed, it's time to welcome life coach Sumaya Kavadia to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Ijaz. How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well.
Brilliant stuff. And yes, Sumaya, you asked the question regards to, you know, people and their inner critic voice and how they deal with it. It's so interesting. Some of the responses I've received on Facebook, which I will read throughout this segment. But let's get started, right? What is the inner critic?
Yes, that is a very important question, Ijaz. You know, just to start off with by telling people that the inner critic is a voice that we all have, whether you realize it or not. And today we're just going to make you aware of how this voice works inside of you, sometimes all day long, right? Mm-hmm. So the inner critic is that inner voice we all have, as I just said now, or a part of ourself that criticizes us and speaks to us in very, very negative ways, Jazz. You know, it tends to make everything look ugly, scary, and so on. And most of us are not even aware of this internal part of the self-talk, simply because, you know, it's a constant judgment that have been with us since childhood. And its continuous running commentary feels like a part of us. You know, and it develops very early on in our lives. You know, when people wonder, okay, how does this voice actually, you know, sort of develop? How does it get created?
Mm.
Well, it basically gets created, you know, from the authority figures, you know, in our life. That's what basically happens. So let's just paint a picture. But before we do that, Ijaz, you know, I just want people to remember that the inner critic's original function is to spare us shame and pain.
Mm.
Right? That's something that's just a very important thing to remember while we're just painting this whole picture about the development of this voice. You know, if we go back and we look at our growing up years, you know, just look at that whole process. You know, as parents, we basically teach our kids to look good, behave in appropriate manners, and, you know, just do things properly so that they can succeed in the world or they can look good and, you know, people can find them acceptable and lovable.
Yes.
So parents are always trying. So what happens then? You as a parent, Ijaz, now you're trying to figure your kid out, right? And then based on your perceptions and filters, then you try to fix the child based on how you look at what's wrong with them.
Mm.
And it's not only us as parents that do it, you know, it's all the authority figures, you know, that are important in a child's life. Maybe they have teachers, probably it's their mu'allims and, you know, ustads, or probably it's, I don't know, mentors, coaches, you know, people that they go for sports to, or just anybody that has influence over this child's, you know, growing up years.
Mm.
And they all are trying to fix this child with the primary sort of intention that we want to better this child,
right?
Okay, so that they can just be better people. And, you know, as kids, you're told when to bath, when to sleep, when to eat, all because now your parents need to teach you this, you know, this form of discipline. And, you know, imagine, Ijaz, if you wore clothes that were mismatched, right? Your mom would immediately tell you how ridiculous you looked.
Right.
Because now she wouldn't want you going out in front of people, you know, looking that way. Because probably people would think, you know, maybe you're a mom that doesn't even care about how your child dresses. So, again, it's about the insecurity of parents and how they're doing their parenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now the important thing to remember is that out of all of this fixing, you know, we as kids get the underlying message, which is so important and so strong that parents don't realize. You know, we're basically getting this message as kids that something is wrong with me, right? And then now, out of all of this, an inner voice is created that basically echoes the concerns of our parents. You know, now we're all adults. And as adults, you still hear that internal voice, right, that critical voice. So basically what it does is, before anybody else can criticize us or, you know, just shame us or bring us down, this critic comes up. And, you know, that's when these, you know, things like these following statements can seem so real and true. You know, where you can say things like, you know, the trouble with you probably, okay, let me talk, you know, about myself. Where you can say, the trouble with you, Sumaya, is maybe you never listen. Or, you know, Ijaz, maybe you could say this to yourself. Maybe you just, you know, you're probably selfish. Maybe you mean. People could say you're getting old, or someone would say we're getting fat. Or, you know, sometimes a critical voice can sound like you may have fooled them into thinking you're smart, but wait until they find out the truth about how little you really know, you know, and so forth. So these are just basically examples. Another thing, the critical voice loves the word mistake. You know, everything we feel is a mistake. We shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have, you know, eaten this whole bar of chocolate. I should have went to gym. I shouldn't have did it this way. So this is basically what the critical voice is and how it gets created. And the one thing about it is, yes, at the beginning we said it's there to spare us from shame and pain. But the other thing, on the flip side of the coin, this voice really doesn't know when to stop. You know, and if we put this, you know, a little into context with a little bit more examples as to the different voices that gets developed in us, Ijaz, yes, because we don't only have the critic in us. You know, we have the shamer in us. We have the enforcer in us. We even have the, the competitor, that voice that keeps on comparing us to someone else.
Mm.
So, you know, imagine you have, you know, that teacher who always screamed at you to stop talking so much. Or, you know, maybe telling you, how could you do it that way? You're so stupid. Or, you know, that stern disciplinarian parent who tells a child all the time, you never listen. So these are just those examples of how this critical voice gets created. And, you know, when we go into the different voices, Ijaz, you know, a shaming voice could basically sound like, you know, you're so fat. You're so silly. How could you do it that way? If only you said it differently. Right?
Mm.
Then probably we have this comparing and this competitor voice, you know, that comes up and says, she or he can do it better than you. You know, like, don't even bother trying because you're never going to come right. So basically what happens is when we allow these voices to run in our minds, you know, it runs havoc in our minds continuously without us even being aware. It can impede our growth. You know, it's like that fear that comes up that says, no, don't do it. Probably you're making a mistake. You're doing something wrong. You know, just be aware that that probably could be your critical inner voice that's coming up to just stop you because it feels it needs to protect you.
Right. You're listening to the Power Half Hour. We're speaking to life coach Sumaya Kubadia. Sumaya, some of the messages that we received on Facebook, very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll read a few for you now. Mumtaz Musa Sali saying, yes, every morning I say no jump today and my inner voice tells me, lazy cow, get up and you'll have more energy. The inner voice always wins. Another mm-hmm. one here for Zana Sonvadi saying, my inner voice says serenity now, insanity later. One more I'll just read out for you at this juncture. Hasina Majid saying, my inner voice sounds exactly like my mother, always making me recheck my efforts and pushing for perfection. So
absolutely, absolutely. That is so amazingly true, you know, because further on we're just going to say, you know, how to basically get a handle on these voices.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do we befriend those voices so they become allies?
That is very important, Ijaz, because, you know, if we look at, we're just going to put this, just break it down into steps so people can understand it better. You know, if we look at step one, become just very aware of those voices. You know, like I think the last message that you read out where the listener said that she's very aware that that voice sounds like her mom.
Yep.
Right? So that is amazing awareness, and Jazakallah for sharing that with us. So just become aware of what those triggers are to bring those voices about. Maybe it's, you know, okay, let's put it into what we are doing right now, Ijaz, right? Maybe it's this radio show or the segment that we're doing, right? We're just going to put us into examples.
Okay.
So it could be a trigger where, you know what, we could say that at the end of the show, I could have said it better. I could have said it this way instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of thinking that, you know, I did do a great job, that inner voice goes, no, you didn't do it the way you should do it.
Right?
So instead of listening to that voice, sometimes we can calm that voice down, right? And further on, I'll show you how to do that. The second step we go into is stop resisting and rather get to know the voice. You know, like the caller, I mean, the lady you spoke about last where she said it's her mom's voice. Now you're getting to understand that this is my mom's voice. This is what she sounds like. You know, when I criticize myself, this is the things I criticize myself on, right? Because remember that resistance, if you're going to resist this voice, resistance is the glue that holds our suffering together. So it causes us to have these limits, you know, and causes us to hold back. And it basically gives us this artificial sense of being in control. And however, the opposite is true, right? Because if you think about it, the more resistance we put up, the more controllable we are. So when these voices show up and we resist them, it's like trying to move forward with the brakes on. And Ijaz, we know we're never going to move forward from there. Right?
Yep.
So the third step is just give it some loving patience, right? Have a dialogue with your critical voice. Ask it questions. You know, what are you trying to protect me from? You know, who do you sound like? What type of embarrassment or perceived embarrassment do you think I'm about to get myself into, right? And how can I include you in whatever I'm doing? This kind of dialogue basically opens up into understanding this critical voice better.
Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of the messages that came through now. Fahima Hendrik saying, I'm learning how to make peace. She's saying her voice is a female. She lays on the guilt quite thick at times. Of late, I don't listen much to her, instead to how I feel. And then Sister Ferial saying, procrastination is the doing of my inner voice, and if the criticism gets out of hand, then I use deep breathing and mindfulness to find my sense of calm again and sanity. And she says, nice topic.
Jazakallah for that wonderful, wonderful feedback from the listeners.
Right. Now, Sumaya, how can these inner voices create a feedback loop if it's not addressed?
Okay, this again, you know what, Ijaz, let's paint this picture here.
Okay.
You know those times when you're feeling out of sync or having a shaming attack where you're shooting on yourself or feeling guilty about something you said or did or something that you didn't even do, right? And you realize you have this team of critics that are having a field day, but at your expense. Then you come into contact with other humans and somehow they say something that really touches a nerve or sore spot inside and it makes you feel even worse. Well, that's the feedback loop, right? Because if you introspect, you will see that all those, you know, other people on the outside were basically verbalizing exactly how you're already feeling about yourself inside. You're criticizing yourself, you're shaming yourself. Those people are just basically putting words to what you are feeling inside, right? If you're feeling inadequate, they're picking up on it. Because remember again, we are made of energy, right?
Yes.
Our frequency that we're sending out is so strong that unconsciously somebody else is picking up on that. And they're just basically putting into words how I'm already feeling. So instead of looking at it this way and saying, you know, how could somebody say that to me? Or how could they do that to me? Or how could they, you know, behave in that manner?
Yes.
Just use this as a moment of awareness, you know, and just tell yourself, well, wait a minute, let's just see what's going on inside of me. Which voices are attacking me? You know, how am I speaking to myself? How do I see myself? And then you'll realize that the reactions you got from others was simply that feedback, right? Whether you realize it or not, we are constantly communicating with others verbally or non-verbally. And that's just basically how the feedback loop works.
Now, finally, in about 30 seconds, Sumaya, how important is it to create a healthy relationship with ourselves?
Well, Ijaz, it's absolutely important, right? Because I'll leave, you know, the listeners with this last message.
Okay.
You'll be with yourself longer than anyone else on this planet. So you know what? You better make sure that the relationship you have with yourself is an amazing one, right? Have your back. You know, that's what it is. Just develop a loving relationship with those parts of yourself because your self-esteem will get, you know, much more higher. You build integrity, trust, and a whole lot more. So that relationship with yourself is the most important relationship you'll have with anybody else on this planet.
Wonderful stuff. And yes, remember, listeners, it's cool to speak to yourself. Just don't do it out loud when you're walking in the streets because people might just wonder if all your eggs are in the same basket. But Jazakallah Khair, Sumaya, for those enlightening tips on how to create or to build a better relationship with your inner voice. We thank you so much for your time today. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Jazakallah so much for having me once again, Ijaz, and to you too.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Life Coach Sumaya talking about the inner critic and how to deal with this and how to build your self-esteem and, you know, all of these factors. Jazakallah khair to all the listeners that sent in some feedback. Really good stuff. Jazakallah khair for that. Bringing us to the end of the Power Half Hour for today. I'm Ijaz Khan and from Sameh Jad, the engineer, we thank you guys for your time today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.